The book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 1 through 6, will be the scriptures we study this morning. Galatians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. I will read them as we contemplate them as a congregation. Chapter 5 of the book of Galatians, verse 1 through verse 6. Paul writes, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Three questions this morning. Have you fallen from grace? That's a common term that we hear from time to time, that there are those who have been born again and yet now they are not a child of God because they have fallen from grace. And if you answer the question, have you fallen from grace, by saying, yes, I have, how do you know you have? What sin is it? What act is it that is so able to define that we now, though we have been in the past children of God, we now are not children of God? What exactly is it that you did? You say, I know I was saved. I know I'd been born again. I followed the Lord in baptism. I worked in the church. But then I dropped out of the Lord's service. I did some things I shouldn't do. And now I simply do not feel that I'm a child of God, because I know the Bible talks about falling from grace. But what specifically did you do? That one thing that moved you from justification in the sight of God to being unjustified in the sight of God. What act was it? Well, you say, I really don't know. It's just sort of the way I feel right now. I don't feel like I used to feel. Did you murder someone? Did you lie? Did you steal? What did you do? He said, well, no, not anything like that. I just don't feel that I'm saved anymore, and I know I used to be, so I guess I have fallen from grace. Well, did you fall into grace? You fall out of it. Did you fall into it? What do you mean, Brother Penn? Did I fall into it? I mean, were you just walking along, minding your own business, and all of a sudden, you just, by doing a few good things, then you just fell into grace? You weren't really sure of what you did. You did some things that are said to be good and righteous, and now you're not good and righteous. So what exactly happened? What is it to fall out of grace if you can't fall into grace? Doesn't make a lot of logic, does it? We know what we do, don't we? We know that in order to avail ourselves of the grace of God, that we trust in His plan of salvation, that we give ourselves unreservedly in faith to Him and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. We know what we did. We didn't just fall into grace. We were recipients of the grace of God and salvation by grace. So you didn't just fall into grace. There was an act of God whereby His grace you became a child of God. And then where do you stand now? He said, well, I believe a person can fall from grace. Well, where do you stand right now? He said, well, I think I'm okay. But I know there are things that if I did them, I wouldn't be saved. I would have fallen from grace. Doesn't that make you nervous? Doesn't it make you uncomfortable? Isn't it a little bit frustrating to not know for sure what you have to do to fall out of grace, and then do you fall back into grace? And in that period of time of falling out of grace and not being in grace, what happens to you? It is an important question. It's important because you can never be fully and totally and completely and unreservedly resting in the grace of God if you believe for some reason you may fall from the grace of God. And yet you're really not sure what it would be. You say, well, it must be the unpardonable sin. No, if it's the unpardonable sin, then you can never be saved because it's unpardonable. The unpardonable sin is not falling from grace. The unpardonable sin is not believing in Jesus Christ. Because if not believing in Jesus Christ is the unpardonable sin, and if the unpardonable sin means you can never be saved, then I'm not saved because at one time I didn't believe in Christ. Did I commit the unpardonable sin? No, because I'm pardoned. I think Paul will help us to understand that when we read the phrase, "ye are fallen from grace," it has an entirely different meaning than what we generally hear applied to it by some theologians or some preachers. Paul begins by saying, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The first thing we need to understand that he's using the language of the slave trade. He's using the language of those who could be bought and sold. It was called slavery or bondage. And he says we should stand fast, that is, without wavering, in what? In the liberty. That is, we don't have to doubt the liberty that freedom has given us. Let's look at these words. Stand fast means to be firm in your convictions. Doesn't have anything to do with posture, but it has to do with your commitment, with your convictions. Liberty, and I want you to understand this word liberty. Liberty means freedom to go when one wills. That is, freedom gives you liberty, because freedom means to set at liberty. You can have freedom and not use it as liberty. In other words, a slave could be set free, and then he could just stay where he is. He would be free, but he would not recognize the fact that now he can go wherever he chooses to go. Freedom is placing us in a position where we can exercise our will. We can go where we choose to do. We can do the things we want to do that before, because we were in bondage, we could not do that. So think of a slave who has been set free, and then he will not use that freedom in order to enjoy liberty. That is, he simply continues where he was as a slave and never moves beyond it, even though he has been purchased or by decree of the owner, he has been set free. That's very important. Because if we don't stand fast in the liberty that we've gained because Christ has made us free, he then encourages them or warns them to not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The word entangle means to hold in or to be held by anything. A yoke, of course, is something that yokes you to someone else or to something else. And bondage is slavery. Cease being held out by the yoke of slavery. Now, the yoke of slavery here was Judaism or paganism. That was the yoke that we know these people were hooked up to. You were hooked up as a Jew to Judaism. You were hooked up as a Gentile to paganism. And that didn't give you freedom, and therefore you did not have liberty to do the things that you wanted to do. So they were going back into bondage or slavery. Now, Paul uses a rather emphatic statement, very bold. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. This statement, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, is something like our colloquial language of saying, you can put this down, brother, and you can quote me on that. I, Paul, you can quote me. You can say, Paul said that if you be circumcised, then Christ shall profit you nothing. So let's put this in context. If you depend upon circumcision to give you freedom so you can exercise liberty, this circumcision has absolutely profited you. That is, you have not gained a single thing by the act of circumcision. Now, here's why. For I testify again, that is, this is something you can take to the bank. It's what I say to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Now, the act of circumcision was a rite or a ritual by which you acknowledged yourself being then subject to the law, that is, the law of Moses. Now, just by the act of circumcision, now you are debtor to the entire Judaic system. All of the special days, all of the offerings that you make as an individual, all of the times you must go to the temple or tabernacle, all of these things now have fallen upon you. If you're claiming that your liberty or your freedom is given to you by accepting or being circumcised. And being debtor to the whole law was a great burden. It had so many things that you had to do. Not only was it just the Ten Commandments, but it was the whole system of offerings and special days and days you had to observe as a person who was under the law. And then Paul writes, Christ is become of no effect unto you. The idea of becoming of no effect simply means that something has been canceled out. That is, you get no profit. Something has been voided or abolished. So what he's saying is, you have become a believer in Christ, but you still are claiming your salvation is contingent upon the fact that you have been circumcised. But you realize that being circumcised, you put yourself back under the law from which you have been delivered when you trusted in Christ, who is the end of the law to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. Christ is become of no effect unto you. It has voided or abolished or made useless or causing something to lie idle. Whosoever of you are justified by the law. The word justified means to be made righteous in the sight of God. And he is saying Christ and what he can do or what he has done is totally ineffective. You've canceled out every attribute that Christ can use for your benefit, such as his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his shedding of blood, because you are fallen from grace. That's a strong word. That's a strong statement. But the word fallen means to step out or away from. You put yourself outside the range of his grace because you're not saved by grace. You believe you're saved by a spiritual act or a physical act, and now you are under the law, and so you're not delivered by the freedom that Christ gives us when we trust him, so that you have liberty then to live freely under the love and grace of God. It simply means to stand back from, to step away from. So, if you claim you're justified by being baptized, if you claim you're justified by taking the Lord's Supper, if you claim that justification is because you go to church every Sunday, or the justification, that is righteousness inside of God, is because you give freely and willingly of what you've earned to the work of God, and you claim that as a part of or the entirety of your relationship to God and the basis of your salvation, you simply walk away from the grace of God and void its effect and void and abolish what it could do for you. We understand that even Paul wrote again, "For if by grace, then it is no more of works, otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." In other words, it's one or the other. Salvation is either given to us because what we do and therefore earn it, but it's either grace without works, but simply by faith. If you say it's by works, then you stand outside the scope of grace, because grace cannot reach you and make you righteous in the sight of God if you're claiming your salvation is by works. Therefore, Paul wants these people to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. That is, the ability to make choices. That's all liberty is. It's the ability to make choices. Under the law, you didn't make choices. The choices were already made, and you were bound by them. That's why Paul refers to it as a yoke of bondage. You didn't decide whether you would keep the Sabbath or not. You said, "Well, I guess I could." No, because it was a death sentence if you didn't. Now, they didn't apply it. I said, if that was true in Baptist churches today, we'd all be dead in 2 years. But you have a choice. You have a liberty as a child of God. There's not a day that you have to do something. There's not a book you have to read every day of the week. There's not a set prayer that you have to pray. There is no law in grace, or it isn't grace. It's something else. He said, "Well, you mean I don't have to come to church? Not to be saved, you don't. It's your choice. Now you've been freed by a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. And now you can take off the yoke of bondage that you are a slave, and you can walk outside the perimeter of that the slave owner had drawn for you. And you walk outside. You can sit down if you want to, rise up if you want to, walk about if you want to, go to another town if you want to, go to the beach if you want to, go to the market if you want to. Freedom gives us liberty. Liberty is the power to make a choice. I think God wants us to make the right choice, and I'm going to show you why we make the good choices. It's the last verse in these scriptures that I've read. For we through the Spirit, that is, in the realm of the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. That is, we will hope, that is, we will steadfastly and conscientiously wait for our righteousness, which will be vindicated or shown to us fully by the resurrection from the dead and the return of Jesus Christ and the resurrection from the dead. So we understand that it is a spiritual matter whereby we are made righteous by faith, and therefore we stand in that peculiar relationship to God. Now listen. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision avails anything. Circumcision are a spiritual ritual, or a rite that you might do. It doesn't mean a thing. Okay? If you do things with your hands, with your eyes, with your feet, whatever you may do that is a physical thing, it doesn't mean anything from the viewpoint of being righteous in the sight of God. Nor uncircumcision. You see, this probably was a mixed congregation of people, Jews and Gentiles. And the Jews were saying, I have been circumcised, so I have a special right because of circumcision, being made a Jew, son of Abraham, that is, a descendant of Abraham. I have a special relationship with God. And therefore, because I have a special relationship with God, I shall have my son circumcised, because that puts him in a special relationship with God, so that now he is not only a son of Abraham by faith, he's also a son of Abraham by the works of the law, which required circumcision. Paul said, that's all done away with. You're not a better man. Your children don't need it. The Gentile said, you know, I don't have that burden of the law that you guys are bound down with. I'm free from all the circumstances that you describe as a Jew, not required to be circumcised or go through some spiritual ritual. I don't have any special days that mean anything to me. I'm free because I am not circumcised. The circumcised said, I'm free because I am circumcised. And Paul is saying, look, neither one of them give you freedom so that you then have liberty. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Here's the clincher. But faith which worketh by love. By faith which worketh by love. Isn't that extraordinary? Faith, not just faith, but faith that creates love. And so by love we make the right choices that we now are free to make, because the blood of Christ gave us freedom. It set us free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of our character, by the bondage of our nature. Now we can have liberty, and now we can make choices, but those choices must be made from the position of love, and therefore they'll be good decisions and right decisions and decisions that please God. In other words, there is no law that says you have to come to church on Sunday morning, but if you've been born again, you love God and you love God's people, you want to come, just like Matt said this morning, this is the place I want to be this morning. Absolutely, totally, no question about it. So that's faith, which elicits love or begets love. And because of love, we do the things that Jesus teaches us to do. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Isn't it wonderful to be free? You know, I don't have to go home after church. I still bet I'm not going home. But I want to go home. I think we got 4 meatballs left. It's 2 apiece. 3.5, something like that. We fed some company yesterday. That's kind of an inside joke there. One guy back there understands it, though. I don't have to go home. But I love her, and I want to go home, and I want to be with her. Could there be a law passed that would make us all do what God wants us to do? The Bible says no. If there was a law or had been a law which could make us free, then freedom should have been by the law. But it's not by the law. It's by grace. We're living in a wonderful relationship with God. If we're in a circumstance where we're not feeling well, God isn't going to mark down a mark over here and say, that's one mark, buddy. You get 3 of them and you're going to detention. God isn't that way. We're His children. We're not slaves. We're not in bondage. We have been set free, and now we have liberty. That's what freedom, just freedom itself is not worth a great deal unless you realize that now you have liberty. And there is great liberty in being a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful way to live. I hope you've trusted in Christ and that you have freedom from bondage of sin, and that you realize the liberty that you possess because Christ has made you free. Let's stand and sing.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, teach me thy way. Thy guiding grace, O Lord, teach me thy way. Help me to walk aright, more by faith, less by sight. With heavenly light, teach me. success. Teach me thy
Father, any